Hello once again, folks. This is Brad Bailey again with you with the New Testament Baptist Podcast. And we are looking at the matter of the New Testament Baptist Confession. As we make our way down through the confession, we've now come to paragraph number 9. And this paragraph is a little lengthier than some of the other paragraphs, but the content is certainly worth discussion. So the paragraph reads as follows. There is a new version of independent Baptist fundamentalism masquerading as old-time religion that in no way resembles what our forefathers believed or intended for fundamentalism to be. This new and radical version of fundamentalism is changing the character of our spiritual culture, and there are many who do not want it to change. If the original fundamentalists were alive today, they would not identify with this new sectarian order. There must be a spiritual cohesion and solidarity that unites in the declaration that this new version of independent fundamental Baptists are neither independent nor fundamental and are barely Baptist. Our skepticism and our suspicions must serve to preserve the gospel that is being jeopardized by this sectarianism. And as you can see, this paragraph touches a very sensitive nerve among independent fundamental Baptists. And I have shared periodically just a little bit of my testimony with you all as we have been looking at the New Testament Baptist Confession. And for many, many years, I was raised among the fundamental Baptist church circle and the camp meeting style Southern fundamental Baptists. And I've had in my ministry the opportunity to preach in numerous churches. I've lost count now how many meetings I've preached, and I've rubbed shoulders with some of the greats. I mean, some of the deepest and most God-fearing people that I've ever met in my life among fundamental Baptist churches. But in those experiences, unfortunately, you have to take the good with the bad. And in many cases, I saw things happen and heard things preached and observed doctrinal shifts and doctrinal trends that were really offending my own conscience and becoming a great issue. When I was a young man, I was exposed to the ministry of Dr. Harold B. Seitler at the famed Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Seitler, if you did not know him, Dr. Seitler was a consummate gentleman. He was not just a powerhouse preacher, but he was a man of great letters. He was a graduate of Furman University. He had numerous degrees, which included his doctoral work. And Dr. Seitler was certainly a qualified pastor. He and his wife, Helen, God-fearing people, upstanding people, respected in the community. And even today, Tabernacle Baptist Church has a goodly heritage that they are able to rely upon because of the strength of Dr. Harold B. Seitler. And he left a great heritage to his children and to his grandchildren as well. That is the form and the version of independent Baptist fundamentalism that I was exposed to. It was quite detached from the harsh, insulting nature of the right-wing fundamental Baptists from up in the Indianas, from some of those who were even up in the state of Michigan and places like that, that were very, very condescending, almost like insult comics and shock jocks. Strongly worded rebukes, great contentions between all of them, and they seemed to want to pick and choose teams, and they wanted to garner people onto their side. Dr. Seitler did not participate in that, and he had other partners in ministry like Mays Jackson and Oliver B. Green, even his grandson, Benny Carper, great, great men, upstanding men who loved God. And then there were other men that I felt like had balance in their ministry, like Dr. Stennett Ballou and my pastor, Dr. Steve Ward from Victory Baptist Church in Valdosta, Georgia. This is the kind of fundamentalism that I was exposed to. And in most cases, the student is more extreme than the teacher. And so, unfortunately, even as mild-mannered and as tender-hearted and as temperate as these men were, there were people who came from those ministries who tended to be more extreme in their beliefs and more extreme in their delivery. And this is what I have termed here in the confession a new version of independent Baptist fundamentalism masquerading as old-time religion. and it in no way resembles what our forefathers believed or intended for fundamentalism to be. These men knew what they believed. They knew where they stood. They stood firm. They were uncompromising. But nevertheless, they understood also the need to be compassionate, to love sinners, to reach out to those who needed the gospel most. I could never even imagine, not in my wildest dreams, I couldn't imagine Dr. Seitler insulting a woman or speaking ill of some person or condescending or insulting someone from the pulpit. I could never imagine my pastor doing that, or Dr. Seitler doing that, or one of my great mentors, Dr. James Rainwater. I could never imagine Dr. Rainwater doing any of those kinds of things. And so as those men have died and passed off of the scene, they've gone on to glory to be with the Lord. In many cases, especially back in the early 1990s, late 1980s and the early 1990s, as those men began to age, there were radicals that were coming up underneath them that served the purpose of hijacking the independent fundamental Baptist movement and taking it in a direction that was not healthy to the movement and not healthy, I believe, to the church in general. So the second sentence here in paragraph 9 says, "This new and radical version of fundamentalism is changing the character of our spiritual culture, and there are many who do not want it to change." If you could talk to those who sat under the ministries of Harold Seitler and who sat under the ministries of Mase Jackson, Oliver B. Green, those men who loved God so deeply and preached the word so faithfully, Dr. Stennett Ballew and men like that, if you could talk to these people who sat under those ministries, and if you created a juxtaposition in which you laid down beside those men's testimony the current trending movement of fundamental Baptists of today, it is a radical and stark contrast, a radical and a stark difference between what we are seeing even today and what they were seeing back in those days. And it is my belief that the reason there is an exodus presently among independent fundamental Baptists and why people are going elsewhere to find the truth is because the face of the movement has changed. And there are many of us who did not want it to change, but it did. And when it changed, it became, in my assessment, irreversible. It got to a point in which the movement was more known for its abrasiveness and it was more known for its harsh statements than it was for the fundamentals of God's Word. Continuing in the paragraph, if the original fundamentalists were alive today, they would not identify with this new sectarian order. I am assuming that. I am assuming that if these precious gentlemen were still alive and well today, they would rebuke this methodology and they would castigate this methodology and cast it to the side. There must be a spiritual cohesion. I'm continuing. There must be a spiritual cohesion and solidarity that unites in the declaration that this new version of independent fundamental Baptists are neither independent nor fundamental and are barely Baptists. Now, that statement is strongly worded. Independence is really not a quality that they have. If you look at their independence under the microscope, what you discover is that they are independent to the extent that they are autonomous in the operation of their church and in the doctrinal emphases of their church, but yet they reserve the right to sit in judgment of another church that is not similar to them or just like them doctrinally. And so, and when I say not similar to them and not like them doctrinally, that also includes the fact that they will make a mountain out of a proverbial molehill. They can take an issue of dress, something very external and something very somewhat inconsequential. They could take an issue of the way a pastor dresses behind the pulpit or the way his choir dresses when they're singing on Sunday and make a major issue out of it that becomes a matter of broken fellowship. And so the independence that they are claiming is virtually non-existent. And I have watched independent Baptist churches become so critical of other independent Baptist churches that the independence basically fades into the background or is eclipsed by their interest in being able to critique, their interest in being able to condemn someone else who is not on the same page with them doctrinally or on the same page with them functionally. I believe that there has to be some doctrinal cohesiveness, but this independence became really the weakness to its own strength. And then they're not fundamental. They're neither independent nor fundamental. Independent fundamental Baptists who claim to be fundamental, if you ask them what the fundamentals of the faith are, many of them who are bathing in this ignorance, they could not tell you. If you ask them what the fundamentals of the faith are, they may blow out some kind of an external standard or some kind of an external performance-related conviction that they may have, some standard that they have that identifies them as independent and fundamental. And that could be no cosmetics on women. That could be no movie theaters. That could be no open-toed shoes. That could be no trousers on women. That could be that men are supposed to wear only white shirts and no colored shirts, especially pink. They might spout out a long list of external standards that they believe makes them fundamental or categorizes them as fundamental. And when you talk to them, or even when you preach, if you stand up and preach a message on the blood atonement, or if you preach a message on the virgin birth of Christ, or if you preach a message on the resurrection or prayer or what the real drivetrain of Christianity is, the spiritual disciplines and so on and so forth, they oftentimes will call that dead, or they'll call that uninteresting because they are detached from true fundamentals, and they have replaced the true fundamentals with pseudo-fundamentalism that is a focus on the external and a focus on what does not matter and what is virtually inconsequential when it comes to our spiritual walk with the Lord. So a third thing that was added here, they're neither independent nor fundamental and are, as it says in the confession, barely Baptist. And when I say barely Baptist, what we're talking about here is the fact that they could not identify what the fundamentals of the Baptist Church are. They could not really pin down and tell us why they are Baptist. And this is because of the intoxicating nature of focusing on externals has created a diversion, and they have, in some cases, lost their focus on the reason we are Baptists, things like the priesthood of the believer, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, all those types of things among Baptist doctrine have been jettisoned by many independent fundamental Baptists so that they can focus more readily on external things. So the last sentence here in paragraph 9, our skepticism and our suspicions must serve to preserve the gospel that is being jeopardized by this sectarianism. Independent fundamental Baptist sectarianism is indeed a threat to the purity and the fidelity of the gospel message. And that, I think, has been made clear by the fact that much of the preaching and the teaching of independent fundamental Baptists has turned out to be something of almost a comic book edition of the preaching discipline. And I find it to be next to impossible to find genuine and true contextual expository preaching among independent fundamental Baptists. And that is, I think, created a shelf life that they are not going to be able to outlive. So paragraph number 9 in the New Testament Baptist Confession, it's available on the website, newtestamentbaptist.com. These audio files are also available there if you want to listen to those again at your own pace. You can send them to a friend or a relative, someone who may have been struggling in these areas. We'd be delighted to have these things exposed to those who especially need them most. Once again, Pastor Brad Bailey with you from Brandon Baptist Tabernacle in Brandon, Florida. You've been listening to the Cherishing Scripture podcast, and we've been talking again about the New Testament Baptist Confession.